Hey guys, thanks again for listening and downloading this episode with Michael Loftus. I wanted to take a moment to kind of give a state of the union, because I know that we may have new listeners coming up and people that came in just in the middle of the transition between the old show with Bill and then this show. And I felt like I wanted to tell you guys everything that was kind of going on this end. And I don't know, maybe I'm a blowhard. I don't think so. I think that a lot of you guys care about this. And if not, then go ahead and hit stop now and move on to next week's episode. But I want to talk about what my plan was with the show. I've tried doing the solo episodes, and honestly, I don't really like them. I know some of you have enjoyed them, and some of you have kind of said that, well, I kind of like it when you have somebody a little bit better, and I appreciate you putting it delicately. But what I realized with the last solo episode that I did was that I was expressing my own opinions, and there was nothing to bounce back at me, which, you know, comedy aside, I just don't like the idea of it just being one person's opinion, because the show isn't an advice show. And it's difficult for me to kind of wrap my mind in the moment, because I'm just talking the same way I am right now. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around an entire concept. And I just don't, that's not what I want the show to be. I'd kicked around the idea of kind of making my wife, Natalie, a more permanent part of the show. And the reason I don't want to do that is because it's important to me that this show is for dads. Now, obviously, I'm not putting a no girls allowed sign up on the treehouse. That's not my point either. I like that moms listen to the show, but I do think that the reason that moms listen to the show is because they're also curious about the male perspective. So that's why if I get my wife, then it's a different show. It's a married couple doing a podcast, and there are shows that are like that out there already. What I really felt was made this show unique was that it was two dads being honest, coming at it from a male perspective, and that's why. And the reason I'm not interested in finding another co-host is because I don't want to run into the same situation again. You know, not that there's any bad blood between Bill and I, but I would just hate for it to have to go through this. This kind of sucks, to be honest, right now for me. And that not obviously it's not digging ditches and all that stuff, but it's just like it feels clunky, and I felt like we had a good thing going, and then now it has to change, and I'm, you know, and I'm plugging at it because I enjoy doing it. I'm very passionate about it, but I just don't want to have it to where we start to build it even bigger, and then I have to hit a fucking reset button again. I don't want to do that. So I don't really want to find a consistent co-host. But honest, what also was going through my mind is that I like the idea that of having it be the same people on a regular basis, was that I felt like you kind of knew the stories in the same way that you like a TV show or a movie, is that you kind of care about the people involved. But I was talking to somebody about this, and maybe it was my wife, or fuck, I can't remember who it was, but I think that I could still be that person or whatever. So I just wanted to kind of say all of that to you guys, to kind of, you know, put it out there so you know what was going on in my brain. And I hope it's not an overshare and that it's not irrelevant, because I think it's important. And I honestly, to a flaw, I think I care about the people that listen to this show, and I appreciate it. And I really, really do mean it, that there's no way that I can, I fucking hate how cliche this sounds, but there isn't a way that I can put in words what it means to me to have this level of support and to do something that people honestly appreciate. So now I'm going to fucking stop talking about that. So what does all that mean in the long runs? I don't want the solo episode. I don't want it to become, it's easy for me to do a solo episode. I just wait till both kids are asleep, and then boom, I can do it. But so there's a chance that it might mean that the shows come out with a little irregularity, especially if I got to go out on the road and, you know, guests cancel last minute, because, you know, here I'm trying to get some people that, you know, I think are entertaining and funny. And the problem is that when you live in Los Angeles and people are entertaining and funny, they got other shit that they also have to do. And stuff comes up last minute, you know, just like, you know, what happened with Bill. You know, he needs to focus on his career. So bear with me. Be patient. Know that if an episode isn't out that week, it's coming out. And it will really help me out, too, if you like us on Facebook.com/DadPodcast, or you follow us on Twitter @DadPodcast, because that's a great way for me to easily, without setting up all the recording equipment, I could just say, hey, we can't do an episode here. But we have over 1,000 people that listen to this show, and it just is constantly growing. But the likes that we have on Facebook don't necessarily, you know, reflect that. So what, not that I think everybody has to, I don't want to make a requirement, obviously, but I just feel like it's hard for me to look at the 200 and some odd likes that we have now and go, oh, well, not everybody's going to know. They might just think, oh, well, he just doesn't care. He does. He's just, you know, so that's all that I had to really say. That fucking died like nothing. So again, I'm going to keep plugging away. I love doing it. I appreciate you guys listening, and just bear with me as I'm trying to crank this stuff out and keep giving you the content. And that I didn't, that's the other thing I want to say. The solo episodes are not me being blowhardy and thinking that I am amazing or great. It's honestly, my brain tells me that they're irrelevant and that they're dumb and you do sound blowhardy and you need to stop doing it. And it's me going, people like what you do. Stop getting in your own way. That's why I did it. Not because I think I'm fucking interesting and the most entertaining thing you can hear in an hour. That's not it at all. It's that I thought, what if there are people, because I have things I enjoy. What if there are people who really enjoy it and they would just like it just to have something to fill their commute on a train or while they're walking, or it's their break away from, you know, being a parent while the kids are at school, whatever that may be. Then it's unfair for me. And if that's the case, check out naptimeradio.com. How about that? Enjoy those sluts. Stay frosty. Chase the sun. And welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 5. I am here with, this is really cool for me. This is going to, I apologize in advance. I'm going to gush a little bit. You've seen him on Smoking Gun Presents on True TV. He's a writer on George Lopez. But this is where I fell in love with him. His comedy special, You've Changed, which is on Comedy Central. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
And it's also available on Amazon.com and iTunes.
Everywhere.
Michael Loftus is here with me. Now, this is where I apologize if I embarrass you, but I got to work with Mr. Loftus, I think it was like 2010, a couple years ago or something like that. We did Comedy of the Stars. And it was one of those things where I'd never seen you before, never heard of you. And
Most of America.
Undeservedly so. And you did some of the best, seriously, this is some of the best material on marriage and family that I believe has happened since Bill Cosby as himself. I truly, honestly,
that's awesome. Thank
believe
you,
that. It's incredible. If you don't already have the album, definitely get You've Changed on iTunes. It is. If you even smile at this show, you will laugh till tears hit your eyes at this wonderful special. Absolutely incredible. So I'm very excited to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. My pleasure. Well, let me do this real quick bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Time
you don't
to pay
know
some
this.
Bills, as they say.
Yeah, you don't know this, but we did an I did an episode with my wife a little while ago where my wife came and I came down on hard on. We have friends that are expecting their first child.
Okay.
And they were reading books on making your own baby food. I don't know what you're...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, okay, good. So you're on my wife's side. And I got an email from a listener, and we don't... This isn't really like an advice show, and this is why
Let's do it. Let's dig in. This has got me going now.
So, but anyway, and Kim is very nice. I don't want this to rail against her, but I feel like I owe it to her to also show the other side of the opinion, because I think she makes a valid point here. She says, "Hi, Justin. I'm only partially through your most recent episode, but I have to comment on your conversation about making your own baby food. I made my son's baby food because I too wanted to make sure he was eating a great diet, and the only way I felt good about it was to do it on my own. It wasn't easy, I'll admit, but I was proud that I did it, and it made me feel good as a mom to know I was making his food. I also cook for my husband every night, and it makes me feel good to put a nice meal on the table. I believe healthy food is important, and I wanted to start my son's life with great, fresh food. Having said that, the first year is tough, and I think if you truly believe in something, then go for it. It may not work out. I also said I was going to use cloth diapers with my child, and that didn't last very long at all. But
good
I think
call.
That we have the highest hopes for the type of parent we want to be, and we all have our own reasons for going above and beyond in different areas of life. Everyone has different parenting styles, whether it's breastfeeding, pureeing baby food, or letting them play with power tools, which is a little bit of a jab at me. Not
okay.
meant as a jab,
That's
I don't
fine.
Think. As long as you, and I will quote Bill here, just love your kids, then they will be okay. Thanks for keeping the show going. It's a highlight of my week, and blah, blah, blah. Praise upon me. So I just want to say that because, again, I don't really care. What I was really commenting on is that I thought it was interesting that really what it comes from was a fear of preservatives in food. That's where my friends were, and they didn't even know that Gerber baby food didn't have preservatives in it.
Right.
That's the point I was trying to make.
That's a good point. Yeah. Listen, to the person who wrote the email.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to do that, if you want to spend an afternoon cooking carrots right. and dicing and blending and yes. mixing and rinsing and sterilizing, absolutely.
Yes.
Go for it.
Go nuts.
That's I bet it's delicious.
I bet it is. I bet it's amazing.
And it would be cool if there were a bunch of people like that that could start like a factory.
Yeah.
Right? And that's all they would do.
Right.
They would could just call that factory food. Gerber.
Boom.
And you could just go to the supermarket and buy it off the shelf.
Yeah. Well, in the future. Yeah. In the future, maybe.
Maybe someday when we have flying cars.
After we get through this internet thing, we can have baby food.
And I want to speak to the cloth diaper thing.
Right.
Don't feel bad about not doing cloth diapers. Because you know what? Environmentally, that's a nightmare.
Right.
Because then the detergent and yes. the use of water and all that stuff, that's just bad, 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 bad. Disposable diapers? Absolutely. That'll degrade.
In a few hundred years. Who cares?
Hey, but right? at least there's a time limit on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know?
And water, we don't know
who
how.
Who knows? They might be working on some enzyme now that like some super worm that right. all it does is eat shitty diapers.
If we didn't drive SUVs, would they have ever made an electric car? You see what I'm saying? If we didn't fuck up the air.
You need the beginning.
It's an ends to a means.
That's right. That's right.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
If we don't have the car, we don't get the SUV. Without the SUV, you don't get the electric car.
It's, to come full circle, if everybody was happy blending sweet potatoes all day, then there would have never been a Gerber.
We'd just be a planet of sweet potato people.
Right. It's starving. But I also want to say this, too, because I thought it was pretty funny, and I think Kim will get a chuckle at it, because going back and reading her message to my wife, I realized that we do have history through talking via the Facebook or Book of Faces, as I call it. And my wife's first question was, does she have more than one kid?
Yeah.
And I felt bad because Kim's first question is, I'm thinking about having a second kid, but after listening to your show, I don't know.
Yeah.
That changes
That's
a
the
lot.
Thing, man.
And I hate that. I hate that we play that stupid card of like, because people do it to me, I'm sure, because I bitch about having two kids and how much I struggle. And then people are like, I got six. Shut your fucking face hole.
Right?
Yeah.
My mom and dad had five.
Wow.
I'm the youngest of five. And wow. I'm like, I call my mom now, just touching base and just like, God, you did a great job.
Right.
You're amazing. How did you have like a litter of children just going everywhere playing with knives? I don't know.
At any point in your young Michael Loftus, does he ever feel neglected? Does he ever feel?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You felt shunned.
Like, so I chose a profession.
Right.
Where I stand up in front of strangers and tell them stories like, love me, approve me, look at me. That's the whole thing, man. I know that about me now.
See, and this is what I'm talking about, is that
this is the truth. Years ago, my dad took the old family movies and converted them to DVD. Right?
Awesome.
And so I look at all, I'm barely in them. Like, there's hours of my oldest sister. Look, she's walking.
Yeah.
Look, she's using a spoon. By the time it gets to me, they're just bored.
Yeah.
You know, oh, there's Michael chewing on scissors and razor blades. Whatever. Yeah. He's alive.
We had like 280 pictures of my oldest son in the first week of his life.
Yeah.
I think I have eight of them.
Yeah. I'm hoping for like a director's cut to come out. With commentary. Yeah, we were going to take some pictures of Michael, but we were really tired.
we just didn't. We lost them a lot.
There's a bunch of scenes that are on the editing room floor. Really not interesting.
That's great. Because here's my point, too, is that I think that I'm on this weird phase where I'm trying to work out why I'm so afraid of everything for my kids, because I think it's irrational. And I think like you said, you felt neglected.
Oh, yeah.
And then now you have this career, like, you know what I mean? That kind of unintentionally was spawned out of it.
Right.
You have a very happy life, I'm assuming now. I mean,
I'm knock on wood. I'm pretty darn sassified.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ultimately, there really isn't a lot we could do wrong. But to answer your question, I think my fears are that I'm not going to love them enough in the right way. That I'm not going to give them everything that they possibly need. Like, I get freaked out. Like, even we were talking about the food thing. And this wasn't really. I get freaked out that they're eating healthy enough. I get freaked out that are they watching too much television?
Yeah.
I get freaked out. Are they getting outside enough? Like, now I treat my house like a prison where I have a mandatory 1 hour outdoor time where I have to take them outside
That's
to get
good.
Them in the
That's
doing
good,
something
man.
Outside, yeah. you know, kind of thing.
There was a show to make you just more frightened.
Okay, I'm ready.
There was a show on PBS that I saw years ago called Pioneer House.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's out on DVD now. If you're a parent, you should get it.
Okay.
What they did is they took like four different families and had them live as though they were pioneers, right? So they go out into the middle of like Wyoming, in the middle of nowhere. They're like, okay, it's summertime. Here's your house. It's not done. Here's your log cabin. It's not done. So they all have.
And is the idea of it that these are Manhattan or families? Is it a Green Acres type situation?
One
or?
Guy is a entertainment lawyer or an investment guy lives in Malibu. He and his wife and his two kids, just the lap of flipping luxury, right? And they're dropped off
in Wyoming,
in the middle of nowhere. You're a pioneer. Uh-huh. And they have camera guys, so you're not allowed to cheat. You can't do this. You can't do that. And at one moment, the kids, his kids are like playing with animals, and they've got sheep, and they're doing. And he's like, I had no idea, my kids. His kids took to it like fish to water. They just loved it. And he's like, at home, all he does is play video games. Yeah, because you let him, you jackhole. Make him go outside. At one point, the wife thought the husband was dying. She's like, he's hurting, he's dying, he's lost so much weight, and blah, 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 and you got to stop filming. And they call it, they airlift in a doctor, right? And the doctor comes and examines the guy, and he's like, he has been using muscles.
Yeah.
That's the soreness. He's a little dehydrated, probably needs to drink some water. But yeah, he's been working hard.
Yeah.
And it was just to see how, I know families that they don't have television. Right? Mm-hmm. They just don't have it.
Yeah.
And like, what do you, my kids read books and they love it and they're smart and they study. You're like, wow. It's, so you do have to monitor it, especially in this information overload age. Yeah. That's how the Boy Scouts got started.
Really?
Yeah. Back in the Victorian days, there was a bunch of like guys who like, they used to know. I do this bit. I'm working on this new stand-up hunk about what I'm going to teach them to be able to do.
Yeah.
Because like when this whole thing turns into Thunderdome,
right?
You know, my kids are going to know how to read a map, read a compass, do basic math, and not on a calculator. But these guys in the Victorian times, like, look at these kids now. They're so weak with their telegraph and their movable type. Seriously.
They would just die again if they were here today.
So they started the Boy Scouts. Like, kids need to know how to start a fire and build a tent and do all that stuff. So, yeah, my kids were in Scouts for a while.
Yeah.
To learn how to read a compass, read a map, you know, east, west, north, south.
I kind of think that the Boy Scouts has recently gotten a bad rap because they try to make it more about how they hate the gays, which I think is, like, I'm like, I don't even know how that came about, how that, to me, it feels completely irrelevant to the point of what they're trying to do.
Well, I think, yeah, you can't have the gay troop leader. I think that's a problem.
That's, yeah, you're
I think
right.
They should be anti-pedophile. That's probably, pedophile? Oh, you checked, yes. You're going to have
I'm sorry. Please go home. Please.
Yeah. It's crazy. I recently went to do shows in South Africa this last summer, and the flight leaves LAX. We go to DC, and then from DC to Johannesburg. I go to DC, and I'm like, wow, this is, I don't know if they've got flipping McDonald's. Turns out they do in South Africa, but I'm like, this might be my last chance to get like a Big Mac. So I go to the McDonald's in the DC airport, and the computers are down, right? The computers are down, and it's just like the kids are just zombies behind the computers are down. And I'm like, can I get a cheeseburger? I can't. Computer's down. I'm like, it's 99 cents, bro. I will give you a dollar. No, I can't. Just tax.
Like, does not compute.
I'll give you $2. They're just lost. And I'm like, I tell you what, if everybody would lose their smartphones, lose the internet, and lose TV, I think a huge segment of the population would just be lost.
Yeah.
There's people who can't find Florida on the map.
Did they have in this show, this Pioneer show, did they have like a redneck type guy who knew all the stuff? And
they had a father and son team, a black dude and his dad from like Philadelphia, and they ended up winning the entire show.
Oh, it's like it was a competition. Oh, I didn't know that part.
Because
oh, sorry.
As they're out there for months, they start in the summer. You have to finish your house. You have to get a crop. You have to do X, Y, and Z. And then when, like in October, they're like, okay, now this is the end. You would have harvested your crops. Mm-hmm. This is now the winter's coming. You just have to hunker down at this point and try to live.
right? That's what that's what a pioneer family. Yeah. So they're not going to ask him to do that.
Yeah.
But they went in there. They had an expert come in and assess the people. They're like, you would die. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough food. You'd probably make it till about the beginning of December, and then you'd starve to death.
Uh-huh.
You guys, you might live, but you're going to lose this and that. You might survive. And then the father-son team from Philly, they're like, yeah, you guys are doing great. You would survive. You would thrive. You'd be okay for next year.
See, I like that stuff. But to me, my dad wasn't big into hunting or anything like that. He didn't take me fishing. But he did what I would call a more modern version of that. He was a handyman. Like, he was a jack of all trades.
That's fantastic.
So he taught me a lot of that stuff. That's how I got this job. I call him on a monthly basis to say thank you for teaching me this stuff.
Yeah.
Because at least now it helps me pay my rent. If I didn't know how to do this stuff, then it would be a little harder.
After the apocalypse, when this whole place is Thunderdome.
Right.
Those are the people who are going to really thrive.
Yeah.
Mike Rowe, the guy from Dirty Jobs, just testified.
Yes, I love that.
In front of Congress about we're losing tradesmen.
I really believe in 20 years, plumbers are going to be the equivalent to being a doctor. Like,
seriously.
Income-wise.
He said it was either him or it was John Ratzenberger from Cheers who said it. Like, you can have all the brain surgeons in the world, but if you can't wash your hands,
it's screwed.
No one's doing surgery.
Yeah, there's no sterileness.
Yeah. So, a buddy of mine who's...
Or Purell stock is going to skyrocket.
Yeah. And it's weird. We always portray, tradesmen in movies and television as that dumb idiot. I'm just going to fix you. No, those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or you hope they do.
Well, and it's I think what those are is that the people who write those shows, it's always that it's a response to how uncomfortable you feel when you aren't that person. Because there are levels of it where even, stuff about a car, I'm not the best. I could change oil, but you go to the mechanic and
I can't do anything with a car.
Yeah. So
this is I'm just sitting here thinking we sound so old. We sound so old. You used to be able to change your own oil. You didn't have to take it to Jiffy Lube. You sound like an old man. But it's true. I used to work on my old cars. I had an old Dodge. I put it in. Sound ancient. But I would change the oil. I put a new alternator in it.
Yeah.
I could work on this car. I open up my Subaru because that's family friendly and it's safe.
Very safe.
You open it up and it's might as well be a fucking space shuttle, right? I don't even know. I could wipe.
Well, now
that
they
off.
Just have a port that a guy hooks a laptop up to it when you drop it off.
Exactly.
Well, and then there's and a whole other level to this is that my wife, she used to have a Volkswagen Bug before it died, and I was on the road. She calls me because she was getting the oil change at Jiffy Lube, and the guy goes, he says I need a transmission fluid flush, and it was one of those great manly moments where I knew that the transmission in the new Beetle mm-hmm. was sealed. Was why you never had to change the fluid or anything like that. And so she goes, well, I go, he's an idiot. He go, you can't. She goes, so you want me to tell him to not do it? I go, no, tell him to do it because I want to see if he comes back and says, by the way, I can't do it.
yeah, try.
Say, go ahead. And try to do it. And sure enough, to the credit of the guy at Jiffy Lube, he said he was just trying to do his little sales chart thing that they tell him to do.
You got
to
tell him they need transmission.
And he came back and said,
wiper fluid, wiper blade.
I go, tell him to show you the fluid if it's dirty. I go, number one, I go, or if he thinks it's dirty, go ahead and do it. And he sure enough, he came back and said, I can't do it. It's sealed,
God, I had a buddy whose car was wrecked at an oil change place. They're like, you need this and that, and then they did something, and then you're good to go.
Right.
And he drove off, and then they're like, we can't be sure it happened here.
But see, I guess when we started off on that little tangent is that I do like the idea of the Boy Scouts. I like the idea of getting, trying to make a man into a man. I like the old
Absolutely.
School. That's the only reason why my second son is named Jack is because after having a son, I kind of felt and living here in Los Angeles, I think that there is a little bit of an air of that where there are the entertainment lawyers in Malibu that have no idea of how to unclog a sink or basic stuff like that.
No, that's why you call the Spanish guy.
Yeah.
Call the Mexican.
He comes out and
this is why we learn the second language, babe. Call the Mexican.
And
cut the grass, call the Mexicans. And then you get these weird people what would you do in a world without Mexicans? I would do the shit myself.
Yeah.
That's what kills me. I grew up in Ohio, right? Cutting grass. Out here, oh, no, we cut the grass. White kids do it, too.
It is a union thing here. They're Teamsters, the Mexican Teamsters.
I love that. A few years ago, they're see what happens when all the Mexicans quit. Okay.
Well, how long ago? There was that day that they decided they were all going to go on strike.
Yeah.
And then everybody's reaction was, there was so much less traffic.
I swear to God.
That's all they said. I felt so horrible for them.
I know. But that was not well thought out.
It kind of blew up in their own faces.
Yeah, like, wow, did you drive on the 10 today? It was awesome.
which like, from a cultural level, just made us all look like racist white assholes.
Right, right.
They're trying to fight for, you know, wages and all that stuff and rights, and then they'd stop. And we're like, wow, there's no traffic. Maybe we should beef up these borders. Maybe because I could cut down my commute.
Oh, yeah. I love the Mexican Americans. I love them. But there's a line. Right? You can't just come over.
Right, right.
I mean, my grandparents came from Ireland, right? And you can't just come over.
Right.
You got to get in line.
Yeah. You
know, I'm totally for immigration.
Yeah.
But there's a fucking line. Yeah. You can't just like show up. I'm here now. No, you're not.
Oh, man. We didn't even get into it. I'm so sorry. But you have two boys.
I have
right?
two of them. Yeah.
11 and 9, you said before we turned on the microphones.
Absolutely.
Now, I have two boys. One is 3, about to be 4, and one is about to turn 1. So they're about the same. Age difference.
Great.
Now, I personally, I am struggling like there is no tomorrow right now. Like, I have a lot of moments, more than I would care to admit, of just like, fucking hell, when does it end? When does it?
Never.
It just never does. Different. Never. It just changes.
Here's all that I know. And I could write a book about all the stuff I don't know. Here's what I do know. This is a paragraph. As soon as you figure out an age, they grow out of it.
Oh,
like, I remember when I was, like, when they were, like, 4 and 2, I was locked in. It was on, like, Donkey Kong. And I had it all figured out. We had a routine and fun. And all of a sudden, 5. And there's a whole new set. It's, like, a whole new set of problems. And, like, so, okay, so I'm going to figure that out. And then 6. And then now it's just rapid pace.
Really?
Now I'm just trying to, with, like, the 11-year-old and his little brother, just, like, really trying to enjoy this time. And hanging out with them before the teenage years.
That's what I was going to ask.
Right?
Do you see that cocoon phase coming? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My oldest guy is like messing around with sarcasm now, like big time. Yeah, Dad. Great idea.
That's one of those moments where I wish this was a video podcast because he just gave me like this father look of like, you know exactly what I'm, you could taste it. Like, oh, you think it's cute, huh?
And I look at him, I'm like, what? He goes, it's part of growing older, Dad. I'm like, whoa, he's schooling me.
Which, not to mention, you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Like, and now he's like, let me teach you.
Yeah. I've already warned him about that. I'm like, you don't want to go toe-to-toe with the old man. Because this is what I do for a living.
I know.
I mean, I will jack you up for life. For life. I will get you some shit. I'll look at your back and go, ooh, what's that? That's not right. You're different from everyone else. You'll never find a wife. Oh, no.
Oh, that's great. I love the idea of it being... I love the idea of it being like a... Like a Vietnam prisoner of war, like it just triggers some kind of flashback that you just go into and then just go after his soul, like just take him out at the knees.
Oh, you could,
and you don't even know what's happening.
We're professional comedians.
Yeah, shark going after chum.
Seriously, you could mess him up for life.
That's, I think, also one of my fears is that because I have moments, and we talk about a lot on this show where it's like I over-explain things to my 3-year-old like he's an adult. Like I'll go, seriously, like this is what we're gonna like that kind of like yesterday. He woke up from his nap. I was having a company over, and I was making chicken enchiladas, realized I didn't have any tortillas, so we had to go to the grocery store. So I waited for him to finish his nap, and then I go upstairs, and then I say, he slept for like 3 hours, which was way long, and I went in there to open the door to kind of gently wake him up, but he was already kind of awake already.
Yeah.
He was just laying in his bed.
Just kind of hanging there.
So I go, okay, I said, take your time. I wasn't being an asshole. Like, you know, like even my dad just yanked the covers and go, let's go, you know, and just start getting in the fucking car. And if you didn't catch up, you're by yourself.
No. Like blinking, rubbing your eyes, wearing PJs. Why are we at Sears? Shut up. Smack.
So true. So I go, hey, we got to go. And then he just starts crying. And I had already had a rough go because the other one was supposed to be asleep at the same time. And so that was going to help me be able to cook dinner easier. And then he didn't sleep. So I had to hold him while cooking dinner with one arm, you know, and I know that I'm a guy and the moms do this all over America and I sound like the biggest pussy.
No, you sound like a righteous man.
Thank you.
The kids are napping. You got one. You're cooking dinner.
No,
Christ on a pony, man.
So anyway, he just starts crying, and I'm just at a point where I'm like, I do not want to care for your emotional needs at this given moment. Right, now, I'm done. I'm fed up. And yeah. So then I start in with the, why are you crying? Why?
Yeah.
And now I've already gone over this with my therapist where he says, well, he can't really explain to you why he's upset. He just feels
upset. He's got some words.
He could, yeah,
he's
I've
got
heard
some
him.
Words.
He could tell
Bird
me to fuck
die.
Off pretty easy.
Monster closet. You can hook me up.
Yeah. He knows everything. He has irrelevant plot points in the Avengers movie memorized. Thank you. I'm glad you're here, Michael. This makes me feel better. Now I'm going to go back and fight with my therapist, because if he could remember an insignificant plot point of when Loki touches Hawkeye with his staff and knows that line, fucker can tell me about why he's crying.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I said, he just starts crying, and then I'm holding the other one. He starts, my youngest one, Jack, starts crying, and I'm looking at him. He's whining. And I just have this moment where I know I'm going to do something wrong. Right? Like, I feel it coming.
Yeah. Here's where it all goes south.
And so I just walk downstairs. And I set my youngest one down. He started playing with his toys. And I just kind of did this thing where I'm like, all right. I put my head in my hands. And I just started breathing deep. And I'm just sitting there going, it's okay. It's going to be fine. Here's where it was weird. Excuse me. Here's where it was weird for me is that my oldest son comes downstairs, puts his head on my lap, and goes, I'm ready to go.
And I was
like, wait a minute, what the heck? What the hell happened? And then I get him in the minivan, and I didn't say anything because, again, I was still.
Yeah.
And he says to me in the car, he goes, I'm sorry I made you mad.
Oh.
And I go, wait. I go, well, hey, I go, you didn't make me mad. I said, to be honest, I said, Jack didn't sleep very well. And this is where I make fun of myself, because I explain all this to him, even though he's three. I said, Jack didn't sleep very well. I said, Dad's tired himself. I had a lot of stuff I had to do, and I wasn't ready to deal with you crying at that moment. I said, so I'm sorry that I couldn't be more helpful to you.
Yeah.
I said, but you know I'm not mad at you, right? That's what I want to make you. And he's like, okay. And then I gave him a kiss, and all it was right as
there
rain.
There you go.
It was good times. But I can't even remember what got me onto that story. But I guess what I'm saying, ultimately, in this conversation, is I'm saying that I want that stuff to be over. And I, as the, like, being, I guess, what, 6-7 years behind you, you know, parental-wise, that I want there to be that light at the end of the tunnel.
Where
I don't
totally know, is.
I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Here's the big difference.
Okay.
Like, you got the kid in the minivan, and you're like, hey, man, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
I might have been mad, but it wasn't at you.
Right.
Things were happening in my life. I felt a certain, I apologize to you if you thought you had done that. Dude, did that never happened with me and my dad.
I know, right?
Ever.
Right.
We're brushing our teeth the other night. It's like 8:30, getting ready for bed. We're brushing our teeth, and I got a bunch on my mind. And maybe I was wearing it on my sleeve. I hadn't acted out. I wasn't snapping at people. Yeah. But my kid, like, visually cues in on me, like, why are we brushing our teeth? And he goes, you okay, Dad?
Wow.
And I go, I just got a lot going on. It's all good. Maybe I'm worried too much, but everything's okay. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, I would have never had the balls. My dad, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You okay, Dad? What the fuck? I mean, smack. What the? You didn't. I never ever. Are you okay, Dad? He wasn't even a human. He was like a galactic visitor, you know?
Right, yeah. Well, that's what I try to remind myself is I love my dad to pieces. He was a great dad, but he had a lot more of those moments that I'm afraid of having. But I still look at him as a grown-up, and I go, I love what he did for me. The guy helped
me
out a shit ton, so I need to stop worrying so much myself about, you could be a little rough around the edges. That's okay.
Yeah. And I'm a little concerned about the whole touchy-feely thing. Hmm. Like, is that ultimately good?
I see what you're saying.
Is that ultimately good that my kid's like, uh-oh, Dad's worried about something.
Yes.
Dad's stressing. Are you okay? My kids shouldn't have to worry about
if
I'm okay.
Right.
I should be that. I should
it's
be
a
like
weird
Atlas
consequence.
Holding, right?
Yeah.
I should be Atlas
Yeah.
holding up the world.
Yes.
Oh, it's okay. Dad's here.
That's got
oh,
it.
Oh, Dad's mad. Stay away from, you know, oh, Dad'll do it. Dad. You know, I should be a force of fucking nature. Right? Are you okay, Dad? I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry I told that story.
You want me to edit that out? You want to go back?
No. But I just learned something about myself.
Right.
Fuck it. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm making the sun come up in the morning, you little shit.
Because there was that. I remember that growing up with my dad, that I looked at him and he could do everything. He just seemed like nothing ever bothered him. And then you get older. Like, I've had, when I hit 30 about, is when all of a sudden I started realizing, it was like, oh, my dad's just a regular guy. He's a regular guy who's got his own baggage, his own bullshit. He's a little screwed up in the head.
But wasn't that kind of cool, though?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Like, my whole life, my dad was just dad, this you know, force of nature, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, in my mid-20s, I'm going to buy a car. My dad's like, let me come with you. And I'm like, okay, cool. And, like, at one point, the salesman tried to do that thing. Well, I hope this deal goes through. Let me go talk to the manager, you know. And the sales guy gets up, and it's just me and my dad sitting in the douchebag's office, right? Yeah. And I'm like, then it really struck me. I'm like, oh my god, me and my dad are just dudes. This guy's trying to fuck both of us. He doesn't even know my dad.
That's hilarious.
And then it was like, it was really like insightful. I'm like, oh my god, we're just dudes. And and it was really, really cool. And it was like, I think the tumblers clicked at the right moment. But I don't think a 9-year-old kid should be like,
are you okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want there to be that pillar. Like, I had this moment. I was talking to my wife about it, and this is another example of how I guess I'm the opposite of that. As my wife and I were planning out the day while we're eating breakfast or whatever, maybe it was dinner night before, and I said, oh, tomorrow she had a doctor's appointment. I went back to the therapist, so I'm like, well, I got to go to the doctor's appointment. And my son looks at me, and he goes, why are you going to the doctor? And I go, well, yeah. He goes, you need a shot? I go, no. I go, it's not that kind of like doctor. And he goes, he's like, well, what is it? He caught me off guard. I don't like lying to him or whatever. So I just said to him, I go, well, it's like dad goes to a class to be a better dad. That's kind of what I'm going for.
Awesome explanation.
And then he looks at me and he goes, but you already are a better dad.
Oh! I called my therapist and quit that
said,
moment.
Fuck you. Keep your $20 copay, asshole.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man.
So that was nice, but at the same time, it's that same, like what you're saying, where it's like, I don't know. And I hope that you can think as a kid that he's not really carrying the stress, that it kind of goes in one ear and out the other,
right.
And that it's nice for him to be a compassionate, you know, person and to be aware of people beyond himself. I think that's a nice thing for them to understand, but it is a weird line that I don't think previous dads to this generation of parenting.
Right. I think there's a lot to be said for, I think it's very cool that my kid was concerned about my emotional well-being. I think that's very cool. But I also think there's a lot to be said for, hey, don't worry. Dad'll take care of
it. He's an anchor. He's a fucking rock.
And there's another, and this is a lot of thing that I see parents do nowadays that maybe it's the way I was raised. My wife, not so much. But like, I'm all about structure.
Yes.
Especially when they're young.
Yes.
Like 1 year, 2 years old.
Like a routine. You like schedule this time for this.
It lets a kid know that no matter where they are, all is right in the world.
Yes.
Oh, it's noon. I'm eating lunch.
Yes.
Oh, it's 6. I'm eating dinner. Oh, it's 8. I'm going to bed.
I couldn't agree more.
My wife, when we first, with our first, she's like, well, we'll see what happens. Oh. No, we're not going to see what happens.
Oh, God. Wow.
Have one
that's
of these
great
mole children.
Mine's exactly
that's
the
up
same
at 3 a.m. I want to play. Well, we should play with him. No.
It's a weird thing because I felt like, to a certain extent, like I was micromanaging my wife in the care of my infant, you know, where I, because like, it was stupid. Now I've learned it. But at the same time, like, he wakes up in the middle of the night because he's a fucking baby. And
right,
that's what babies do.
Yeah.
But then I would sit there and get angry and go, did you have coffee? Did you have coffee this morning? Because we'd learned that caffeine with the breast milk can cause like colic-like symptoms.
Yeah.
And then with Jack, she goes, he sleeps fine. All of his naps, all day. He's great. And then in the middle of the night, boom. And I go, there was one time I was balancing the checkbook and I saw she had Starbucks. And then all of a sudden it hit me that I'm like, he eats again at 8 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, she has an espresso.
Yeah.
And then that 12 hours later is when that hits the booby milk. And then he takes it. So he's essentially getting a cup of coffee before he can goes to bed at night. And it's like, no wonder he's like jittering at 12 o'clock and can't sit still. Like, so I'm screaming at her. And then the pediatrician doesn't have my fucking back. She's like, no, that has nothing to do with it, which makes me look like an asshole.
Ah, screw that pediatrician. You need a new one.
That I like happens, having you though. Here. All my doctors are going to get fucking fired.
I recently had the same thing. We have this thing in my house Saturday night.
Yeah.
Is movie night.
Oh, cool.
Right? It's like we get popcorn and M&Ms. We sit down. We all watch a movie together, blah, blah, blah. Well, there was a couple. It was going on for like every Saturday. My oldest is like, I can't sleep. I feel like something's wrong. And I'm like, wow, everything's okay. We just had a movie. And like, maybe it was the M&Ms. Maybe it's the popcorn. And then finally, I'm like, maybe it's the orange soda. I just assumed there was no caffeine in orange soda.
There is?
There is.
Really? I would have made the same assumption.
It's like Sunkissed. It's either Sunkissed or Crush. One of them
has caffeine.
Has frickin' caffeine.
Oh.
So you have to get the other brand that's just orange soda, no caffeine. But I'm like, I found out. I apologize. I'm like, dude.
I didn't know.
You're eating too much popcorn. You're eating too much M&M's. I'm like, no, we've switched. And now it's like so awesome. Because he's like,
you went to the other one, and now he's fine.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. But I can't sleep, Dad, and he's all sweaty.
You know, it's funny, because my parents split up, and my dad was never worried about any of that crap. He was like, whatever you want to do. Like,
yeah.
But my mom was like, she wanted to manage my behavior, and she thought it was best to do it through what I was intaking food-wise. So she'd be like, no Pepsi after 6 o'clock because it gets me wiry or whatever. Yeah. And I just felt like, well, I'm a wiry kid. Like, I always had energy and was hyper.
Yeah.
And now that I have a kid, I'm like, wow, I guess that there was a lot more
there
to what she was saying.
Probably a good call to the no Pepsi after 6.
Well, especially
and
for
no
her.
No more crack cocaine.
Like, let's not forget the fact that she was essentially at that point a part-time parent. Like, you know what I mean? So she has her regular life. She was single. She could do whatever the fuck she wanted when she wanted. And then all of a sudden she decided, oh, let's spend the weekend with the boy. And then I just come in and fucking fuck up everything that she's got going on.
Right? Yeah, but it's, you know, that's good though, because you had, there was like a balance there.
Yes.
You know, a buddy of mine, Matt, who he was raised in a household, the parents like, TV will rot your brain. TV's no good. No TV. So now as an adult, he passes the TV and it's like a black hole. He cannot stop watching.
Yeah.
Like we're going to go out and he comes over and I'm like, oh, let me just turn this off. He's like, No, don't. And then he's like just staring at it like a zombie. I'm like, dude, let's just go. No, I want to see this. This is awesome. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think that's what my dad gave me that advice when I was when I was really young. He realized he kind of learned that lesson, I think, himself, was that he said there needs to be a balance. So when he met my stepmom, he said what's great about her is that she's loving regardless. My stepmom is a lot like a quote unquote dog, like in that you come home to see her. She's all, no matter what you did, you could have, you know,
nice
borrowed $5,000. She doesn't listen. But anyway, you could have borrowed $5,000 from her and just shit-canned it and been a total loser. But my mom would look at you and hug you. Meanwhile, my father would want to talk about where the $5,000 was, you know, that kind of thing.
So
and
he says,
but together, we create a middle ground. There's a balance that comes out of that naturally.
That's great.
And that I think I need to kind of worry, because I, like what you're saying, my wife is, well, whatever happens. Like whenever she works, right? So when I'm not on the road doing stand-up, I'm a stay-at-home dad. So I take care of the house and all this stuff, and I just feel like I'm not constantly. That's not fair. I'm exaggerating, but I feel like there's these moments where it's like, fuck, when do I not have to do something? God damn it! And I imagine
those days are over.
Exactly.
Those days are over.
It's
man.
Oh yeah, that's never gonna happen.
I realized that years ago. There's no going back.
Here's what I think would have helped me. Other than Bill, who I used to do the show with, I don't really have any friends that have kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? I have my buddy. He's going to be having a kid in September, so I'm looking forward to that. But it's like, there's this weird, like, the other people in your life, you just, like, I had friends I hadn't seen in a year because my second son was born.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost a year, and then we finally got to hang out with them. And it's just because, I don't know if I'm horrible at it, but I just feel like it kind of sucks ass to try and do something.
It's really tough.
Right?
Right. And you have to constantly remind yourself to reach out to those people. And that it is a much bigger world and other people are doing interesting things.
Yes.
It's really easy. It's tough to get me off of my couch.
Right.
Like when I'm with my kids and everything's going great and Saturday night is movie night. Mm-hmm. Boy, it's tough to get me out and, you know.
Well, especially like with what we do, that you travel, you leave for sometimes more days, you know, away. Yeah. And then when you come home, you don't want to. I don't want to see anybody else other than my wife.
Do you
want to
go down to the Melrose Improv and do a set?
No.
Fuck yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm playing Legos.
Exactly. I would love to do that. But then there's also those moments where I don't have any gigs for a month. And then I'm like, I got to fucking, let's get out of here.
Yeah. That's got to hit the road. Trust me, it's for the best.
I need a reminder of how much I miss you guys.
We're going to take a little break here while I go move my car.
Oh, okay.
And I get a ticket.
All right. Well, we'll be right back after these non-existent messages.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
That's my little transition.
Fantastic.
Whenever I have to hit.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
I wanted to ask you if, because you mentioned earlier that you and your wife have different parenting styles. Just out of curiosity, how did you meet your wife? Where did you guys? How did you
The
connect?
Romantic story.
Really?
Is we kept meeting all of our lives. We met when we were 8. We met when we were 10. We went to the same swimming pool. We went to different high schools. She moved around a lot as a kid because her dad was a pilot. And we just kept meeting all of our lives. And then I was started as a comedian, and I was down in Orlando, Florida, and she was working at Universal Studios.
Really?
For the guy who, she was the personal assistant, high-class secretary number one for the guy who ran the whole facility. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a thing at the studio, and she's like, Michael? I'm like, Pam? And she kidnapped me.
Oh.
Lots and lots of sex. And carefree mornings, and there was licking and sucking. And
those days are gone. I remember them well.
Remember when this used to go in there? It doesn't anymore. I'm tired. I've got a project for Martin Luther King I got to work on for the fifth grade class.
So your exhaustion level doesn't change when the kids go to school is what I'm picking up then?
No, the great thing about school, and this is the great thing about our career choice, right?
Yeah.
I feel bad for those poor sons of bitches that got to work 9 to 5.
Yep.
So the kids at school, you're at work, you come home, everybody's tired. How do those people get laid? Right?
Because
like with me, it's like I'm home from the road. The kids are at school. It's like 3 o'clock. I'm
afternoon
like,
delight.
Hey, we got nothing going on right now. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. The sun is out and daddy's got wood. But I can't imagine if I was like
a
9 to 5er.
Oh,
you know?
Well, that's what I feel bad. Like, I would like for my career to get to a point where I could support my family instead of my wife supporting me. While I'm doing this right now. Like, that would help out a lot, you know.
Yeah.
not to mention my ego would also, that would be a little bit nicer. But it's because it's hard where it's like even doing like the podcast and stuff like that. My poor wife, this is her day off. She's got to go. She's taking the kids out. She's such a great lady. She's such a fantastic chick that she does all this. And it's like, oh, fuck. Why can't I say, honey, this is what pays the bills. I have to do this.
It all pays off.
I believe so in my art of hearts.
Last summer. Here's a horrible one. You'll feel better after this. Last summer, I get invited to do this comedy festival in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, South Africa goes well. This could also mean Australia, mm-hmm. which could also mean Europe. And, like, comedy is really becoming this global thing. I know.
For the people listening, that's a big thing where now, like, you don't even have to have, like, a sitcom or movie deals. You could just go to Australia and be known, or not even be known and sell out in Australia just because it's a thing that they're doing now.
Very talented dude, Pablo Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big here in the States in terms of this. But he hasn't quite gotten over that last hump where he's, like, a household name.
Yeah.
And all these good things happen. He and I went to Iceland like 6 years ago, where he is a superstar.
Wow.
And that opened up
That's hilarious.
Denmark, Sweden, Norway, where he is a superstar. Now, I didn't go to Scandinavia with him, but over there, superstar. He makes so many millions of euros over there doing shows that he comes back in here. You know, he still does shows in the States. You can't live your whole, I mean, you could live your life over there, but it's an awesome career.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's a quality problem.
Right. So when these people come to me and they're like, hey, South Africa, what do you say? I'm like, well, let me call the wife and I'll get back to you. And I'm like, well, this, you know, what happens if I pop in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
you know, so let's say I go down there twice a year and I'm a superstar. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay with that. Right. If I can do a handful of shows in South Africa or Australia or wherever, make them and then come home and just be like a holy crap. The other part of this bargain was it's a 4-week tour. You're like 2 weeks in Johannesburg, a week and a half in Cape Town.
Wow.
And then, so it's a long time to be away from home, you know?
Yeah.
And my wife, God bless her, she's like, go for it. You know, maybe that's the way your career path is going to go. Maybe mm-hmm. that's what's going to happen. So I'll just suck it up and, you know, be a single mom for 4 weeks. And I was like, wow, that's a really cool thing to do. But, you know, Skype helps
a
lot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If I didn't have video chat, I would, it would be so depressing because I go out first day. I'm very happy. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is, I could do, I'm going to sleep in. I can do whatever I want, you know? And then by about day two or three, I'm like, hey guys, can you guys chat? Can you do
guys doing?
Yeah. I try not to interrupt my wife's time. Cause I know she needs to sleep when she can. Cause she's still up at night with the baby, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, you definitely. And then by Sunday, I'm like, as soon as that last show was over, I wish to God I could get on a fucking plane and just get home.
Yep.
Just to be done with
And that's the horrible, like, she'll tell you something on the phone, like, so what are you guys doing? She's like, oh, I got to go to the park and blah, blah, blah. And it's, and I'm like in Tuscaloosa going, you lucky bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give my left nut to go to the park right now.
Yeah, it's such a human thing, because I'm sure she would like to be sitting in a hotel room with to do whatever she wants to do.
We've played that game. Yeah. We've played that game in my house. I'm like, why don't you go? Your friends are coming to Vegas. You should go.
Yeah.
Take the week. And I'll watch the kids because I'm home,
yeah.
Right? So I'm Mr. Mom for a week. And then by like that third or fourth day, the wife's like, I miss you guys.
Yeah.
And I just tell them I love them and make sure you get my kids for me. I'm like, yeah, shit sucks, doesn't it?
It does. It's not as fun as it seems like it is. I had the same kind of reversal of fortune. That's not the right phrase. But anyway, I'm sticking with it. Well, I like to go geocaching with my kids. Have you ever heard of this at all?
Is that like recycling cans?
No, it's
okay.
People no. Take like film canisters or Altoid tins and they camouflage them and then they hide them and then they upload the GPS coordinates to this website.
That's fantastic.
And you could do it with your phone and it's like a little treasure hunt that you
sometimes
could do with the kids.
Sometimes you find an Altoid can.
Right.
Other times you find a dead body. It's great.
Well,
CSI toddler.
Yesterday you don't know how
that.
You don't know how close you are, because yesterday I'm out with my kids. That's our. Yard, prison yard time. We go out and my oldest likes to find the geocaches because my youngest is a flesh slug still, but he rides like some kind of invalid in a chair, you know, like I push him in the stroller. And anyway, so we go
there, daddy, yeah. Dig there.
Yeah, so
I'm getting a sense of something there.
We go around this corner into like this island, and then we go under, like, you know how they have this towers for the power lines, like the metal ones, you know.
That's the best place to play right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brockovich,
I can feel the tumor growing.
Couldn't agree more. So and it was funny, because
this water tastes weird.
It did create a sense of urgency where I'm like, we got to get this and go. I had seen the movie, so I'm like, I got to get out of here. But we go underneath it, and then my son, who was unaware, but it kind of made me chuckle, that there's somebody's bed is there. Like, you could tell that somebody had made the four corners of this power line, and that's their home. And so, because I walked around going, please don't let there be somebody sleeping here. Please don't. And even worse, like what you said, please don't let him be dead. Like, I just don't. Luckily, it was vacated. But it was weird, because I was essentially geocaching in somebody's home. Like, I had walked into it, it'd be the equivalent of me going into somebody's living room.
Yeah.
Going, I just got to get this real quick with
just
my
real
kid.
Real fast.
It's a father-son thing we're doing.
Ding, ding. Getting
and then,
it out.
I'll get it out.
That's horrible.
But anyway, so my wife had to work late. She comes home. Now, I'm usually the asshole in the relationship. I think there usually is one in everyone, and I am definitely the guy where my wife tries to be like, let's go do this. It'll be fun and happy. And and I'm like, why? What? And so this time she had a long day at work. I go, she misses going out on walks. Like, we used to go out on walks all the time, and it's been harder to work it in the schedule. So I've just decided we're doing it. If you make it happen, it'll happen. So I said, after
you're a
dinner,
healthy dude,
we're doing it. Like, let's go. And so then we get out there, and I even narrowed it down where I said, we already found him. But so we can walk, I'll let Jacob, my son, just point out to him where there's one over there and show it to her, so we don't have to actually look for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's going great so well that on the way back, he says, can we find this other one that was too far away? And I told him earlier in the day, I go, oh, I can't do this with Jack and you by myself. I go, I need your mom's help, kind of thing. So we go out to find it. Well, we're off in this, like, deserted lot of train tracks. There's broken glass. And my son starts going, look, a shiny rock. And he picks up a shard of glass.
Man.
That starts to trigger my wife, you know. I'm trying to find it.
Maybe
and then
we should go home.
Yeah. Well, then the baby starts to get a little fussy. And then at that right moment, like, there's the God sense it, or maybe my son senses it. I don't know. But he's like, now is the moment that I should trip and fall and start crying.
Yeah.
So he eats shit and starts crying. And my wife does a perfect me move where I go, what happened? She goes, I don't know. He probably just fell in a pile of glass. Like, so she's just,
you probably kill the kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you find your Altoid tin?
Your little fucking nerdy hobby, and you're fucking bleeding out our kids all over you, asshole. Like, this is, I'm having so much
all
fun.
The way around.
Yeah. So then I pick him up, I carry him back to the car, and I'm angry at her now. And then as I'm pulling out of the pulling away in the minivan, all of a sudden I realize that she's like, well, what's your deal? I go, well, I think I just realized what it's like to be you, and I think you also just realized what it's like to be me. That's what just happened. And she's like, what the fuck is that supposed to be? I said, well, remember how you're always saying, let's go do this, it'll be fun, and you have to, like, she has to pet me like a grizzly bear, like in the van, like, it's going to be fun when we get there.
You're going to be okay.
It's going to be fine. I go, I tried to do something fun, and you just bitched out on me. Like, she goes, and then it took her 24 hours, though. The next day when she came home from work, she was like, hey, I'm really sorry about what happened last
night. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That there's, like, this lag time with women?
Yeah, that it's
like it is like they've got to, like, it's like they got easy bake ovens in their souls, and you got to, like, it's got to bake for like a day, And like, I've thought about it.
Yeah.
I think you might have been right. As we're like, guys are just like so quick, like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah, my bad.
I'm a dick.
Yeah.
Like, instantly. Okay,
or, no, this is up. On you. Now let's fight about it. Like, and I'm also a little bit more like a chick where she likes to talk. She doesn't like to talk. She doesn't want to. Her parents never talked about anything. Like, they hardly talk to each other even in fun.
Yeah.
So I'm the talker. She's more of a dude. And like she said to me, we've been fighting. It was funny because Michael has this great chunk on, I think it was like you called it the State of the Union or the Relationship.
State of the Relationship Address.
On this You've Changed album, and it was hilarious for me to listen to because I was playing the role of your wife in that situation, and my wife was playing the role of the guy because she said to me, she's like, can't we just make up and have sex already? And then I was like, no, I'm upset. And now I'm mad because you've emasculated me because I had to say that. Like, that's what I said to
her. Now you're fucked up because you just want to have sex, and that's going to make it better.
Now, today, I would probably go, yeah, let's get on that. Now,
yeah. I'll still be mad, but I'm going to fuck you.
I've butched it up a little. But we actually have to wrap it up soon. No, I forgot to tell you this before we came back on, but at the end of each episode, because sometimes the show gets a little bitchy, we vomit a lot of my issues, I should say, and anger, wife, kids, all that stuff. So we like to wrap it up with a moment of the week, like a nice touching moment that we had with each of our kids. Doesn't necessarily have to have happened in the last 7 days or anything like that. I'll go first to give you a chance to kind of think and mull it over. Nobody's going to think you're a shithead if you don't have one.
Right.
I can put that out there right now. But mine actually happened today, both of them, was I was Jacob, we had my friend, you know, Heath Heitch, he came over last night and we were working on like a voiceover demo type thing for him, right?
Good.
So Heath, like I talked to you before, he's like a playground. So like he comes in and Jacob loves him, like, oh, let's play. And he's awesome and he's playing games with him and everything like that. So I was telling my son, I go, my other friend, Michael Loftus, is coming over today. And my son goes, oh, can I play with him? And I go, we're probably going to just do a podcast. And then he's got to go. I go, he's not going to come and just hang out. Not like what we did last night. And he's like, oh, so I can only play with him like just a little bit. And he holds up his fingers and his thumb. And I was like, no. He goes, well, why not? I go, well, we're going to do the podcast. It's just, that's why he's coming over. So, but I thought it was a really cute thing where it's like, he just thinks I bring adults over for him to play with. Like some kind of the toy movie or something.
Thanks. You can bring him again, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
He was fun. He had a good imagination.
He passed the test. He did.
That's great.
And then the baby, had this hilarious moment where I was getting frustrated with him. I woke up early with him so my wife could sleep in a little bit because it's her day off. And I was trying to feed him and he just wasn't eating and everything. And I started to get frustrated and I look at him and I go, sometimes I feel like you do this because you just want to see how far you can push me and how angry I can get. And he was just playing with his food, not even looking at me. But as soon as I ended the sentence, he looked up at me and went, like damn
know
right,
exactly
asshole.
What I'm doing.
So I thought that was pretty cute. That was
awesome.
Pretty awesome.
That's
so
great.
Now it would be your turn.
It's a good one and a bad one.
Oh.
No, actually, they're both good ones, but you'll, as the listener, you can judge. Just my oldest, the 11-year-old, just with the running across the school. I go to pick him up, you know, from school, and just that runs across the playground, and just the big hug, that's it for me. That's all I need, because it's not like, oh, this is the thing we do. It's like he was genuinely happy to see me.
Yeah.
It was one of those big, just raw hugs.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That's one of those little moments that make it all worthwhile and pay $1 million. And then the other night, my little one got sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was up late working, and he comes out of bed, comes out into the living room, looks at me, he goes, my stomach doesn't feel so good. I'm like, okay, well, do you think you're going to get sick? He goes, yeah. So off we go to the bathroom, blah, you know, vomit. And then sitting up with him, get him back into bed. Everything's fine. He's going to be okay. And then the next morning, he's telling mom what happened. He goes, yeah, I got up. And the wife was like, I didn't even hear you guys. I didn't even know. And which had to flip her out. Like,
yeah.
This big thing happened and I was asleep. And he's like, yeah, I was really glad you were up, Dad. Really, thanks for taking care of me. And I'm like, oh, man.
That's awesome. See?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Moments of the Week brought to you by Stitcher. If you have a smartphone, BlackBerry, iPhone, Droid-operated phone, that's the way to get podcasts. You don't have to sync it to your computer. It comes through your cell phone's connection. All you got to do is go to thedadpodcast.com, click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side, tell them what kind of phone you have, and it is a free download right there. So that was our show. Click through the Amazon banner that we have available there. You could see Michael Loftus is going to be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand Las Vegas, May 28th through June 3rd.
Ba-boom.
Depending on when you're listening to this, if you want to see other dates, because some people play catch-up, you can find his tour dates at MikeLoftusComedy.com.
Yes.
For all the spelling, just look in the title of this episode. You can follow him on the Twitter at MikeLoftusComic. Look for him on Facebook at Facebook.com/MichaelLoftus. You can like him there. But the big thing I think that everybody here should do is definitely, I cannot stress this enough. This is not a pitch. This is not a sale. I can't tell you enough.
It's just a fact.
It's a fact, Jack, that you need to get his album, You've Changed, available on iTunes and at Amazon.com. So you could click through Amazon.com through the Dad Podcast and then get the album.
It's
and then
so
everybody
simple.
Wins. Doesn't cost you anything more. But I cannot stress to you enough, if you have ever even smiled at this show, that this that album is meant for people who are married, if you have kids. It's a fantastically hilarious story. My wife and I both had to pull over the car because I was laughing so hard. Such a huge fan of this guy. So please definitely check it out. I mean it. Best album since Bill Cosby as himself for people who are married and have children. Can't Woo-hoo. Thank you enough for coming on the show. On behalf of my good friend Michael Loftus, this is Justin Worsham saying stay frosty.